This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Power, hour, LSU, boom!
All night long, yes!
Let's freaking go, an early Tuesday night edition of Power Hour LSU. I want to talk about Brian Kelly and the recruits that he's bringing in to Baton Rouge. And obviously, this got shared on social media, what I had to say last night on Blake Ruffino's show. But we'll get to that, obviously, in just a second. Are starting a little bit earlier because baseball and basketball are both playing tonight. It's just a lot easier because our times are a little staggered. So that's why we are starting at 5 p.m. today. Now, this is starting to feel like something truly special is happening in Baton Rouge. And LSU has always recruited well. It is not a mystery that LSU has always recruited well. They are notorious top five recruiters. The difference, though, is there is a tier break from the top two or three and then us, okay? And that is perfectly fine. You don't absolutely positively need to recruit in the top two to win national championships, especially with the transfer portal being the way that it is now. And obviously the COVID year made it easier for a team like Michigan to accumulate so many experienced like fourth, fifth, sixth year players for them to make a national championship run. But the recruiting of the high school players is what Brian Kelly has put a good bit of his focus and attention on, and he has followed up on that promise. And I will always say this about Brian Kelly. This is something that is just true about him. If you listen to what he says in press conferences, you will begin to see that he normally follows through with what he has to say. He's normally pretty open. And he said, look, you know, we're going to get transfers. We're going to focus in on getting as many guys from the transfer portal. But he wants to build his program via high school recruiting. So I start today's show. We saw what the visitor list looked like last week. Folks, we are just in the middle of spring here. The spring game is still a few weeks away. I want you to take a look at this visitor list. This is put together from the LSU recruits page. You get a commitment in Jabari Antoine coming in. But take a look at all these four-star players. And this is after a ton of five-stars came in last week. And this is after you getting a top 100 four-star. And this was brought up to me yesterday, or actually on Sunday night's live stream. Could LSU be in potentially lose a Micah DeBose because LSU just got another top 100 interior offensive line commitment in Tyler Miller? I don't think that's the case at all, really. And look, 2025 prospects that will make some midweek visits, more offensive line recruits. Carius Kern from Arkansas, who's committed to the Razorbacks, and a five-star Michael Fasusi out of Texas. So why is all of that relevant? BK is following through on his promises. And this was my analysis when he was hired. That would not have been my first guy I would have gone after. I also didn't really think about him being on LSU's radar because I never actually thought that he would leave Notre Dame and come to LSU. But the one thing that he had as a brand and a paper trail is the development of the offensive line position, the amount of first rounders that he has had drafted in the NFL at the offensive line position. And he said recruiting the offensive line is going to be one of the forefront things that he is going to do. So you see him just piling up at this position, and I love it. I really, really, really do. Offensive linemen are more important than receivers in high school recruiting. It's not even close. Of course, if you get a big needle mover at receiver like a Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr., then yeah, of course, they really, really, really do matter. But on a whole, and just in terms of volume, you need more great offensive linemen than you do need great receivers. And it's not really that close, right? You need five offensive linemen on the field at all times. LSU runs mostly 11 personnel. You need three wide receivers. And you really mostly need at least two super strong wide receivers to really push for national championships. You need at least four of your offensive linemen to be plus players. You don't want more than one weak link on the offensive line. So this is Bama-level stuff. This is Georgia-level stuff, how they recruited on the offensive line. I feel a guy like Cedric Van Pran would go to LSU under this current regime. So really excited with what Brian Kelly's been able to do as a recruiter. I know we keep making the Brian Kelly can't recruit jokes, and those are still funny to me because that was the biggest criticism that Notre Dame fans had of Brian Kelly coming over. But he has done the exact opposite, and this 2025 class is on a trajectory that that may not ever be reached again at LSU. That's how good this class has been up to this point, with 3 5 stars already locked in and more potentially on the way. So pumped up about that, because historically it still matters that you recruit really well at the high school level. And a lot of these kids are committing early, so they're not drawing out NIL deals or anything like that. They might, of course, that's still in their cards, if you will. But I think most of these kids are going to sign and be a part of this class. And we follow up here with Akon and LGZ. What's up, Elijah, Tyler, Skipper, Noah? Skipper, let's talk some LSU softball here in just a minute. Skipper dropped some flaming hot takes in the patron. LGZ, one of the first ever PHL merch getters here. Don't forget, powerhourlsu.com is where you can get your merch. It's the home of Power Hour LSU everything. powerhourlsu.com/shop. 2026 might be better with Louisiana having, just based on early returns, one of the best crops of talent for the 2026 class. And Jakeem Stewart is the number one player, defensive lineman out of New Orleans. So, yeah, I mean, what, LSU, Louisiana had, what, I think five top 100 players in the first 2026 rankings. This is getting crazy, y'all. This is getting crazy. If either Colin Hurley or Bryce Underwood become a superstar starting level quarterback, LSU should win a national championship under Brian Kelly in the next 5 years. There's just so much talent being accumulated here. And you have to factor in, if Bama has just a slight bit of regression under the new regime, which I think that they will under Kalen DeBoer, this is getting special. It really, really is. We might be reaching another real golden period of LSU football. And Brian Kelly, of course, is a better coach than Ed Orgeron. He's a better coach than the coach before him, Les Miles. So this is a good time to be an LSU Tiger fan. Now, next thing, please drop your super chats. Please drop your questions. We're going to go for an hour so you can get out and watch the basketball game. Of course, still trying to give out this K-Baby card. First $20 super chat will get this Christian Fulton card. Pretty excited about that. Now, next thing, okay? let's have a conversation about Matt McMahon and the NIT. I first off commend Matt McMahon for being humble. It is so important to know who you are. Matt McMahon said yes to the NIT. Chris Beard stuck his nose up and said, we at Ole Miss, we're not going to play the NIT. Did Chris Beard forget he's coaching at Ole Miss, one of the worst basketball programs in the SEC, with hardly any history on the hardwood? Did he really think he was above the NIT? Mike Woodson at Indiana thought he was above the NIT? What has Indiana done? I'm serious. What has Indiana done in any form of basketball? Their women's program is way better than their men's program over the past 5 years. And you're going to stick your nose up and say, no, we're not doing the NIT. I love that Matt McMahon stuck his foot down and said, yeah, we'll play in the NIT. Yeah, we'll play another home game on at the Maravich Assembly Center. Yes, I got an experienced team of transfers that are willing to make another potential championship run here. I like the NIT. I do, because this is going to give Matt McMahon tournament coaching experience that he did not have last year because the team was terrible. And I really don't care how this NIT run goes. I feel like they should beat North Texas. I understand that this is a rematch, and I understand that his program is where it is now, still trying to grow, still trying to take that next level, that next step. I am happy that they are playing in it. I understand that there are bigger fish to fry for a lot of you with the women's coming up and having an actual, well, you know, March Madness tournament. A lot of you are focused in on the, of course, men's baseball game versus Louisiana Tech tonight. That game has always been kind of strange. I love it when that game is played in Ruston. I think that's really cool to outreach in North Louisiana. The game tonight is not in Ruston, but over the years, it's been a fun matchup playing against Louisiana Tech. You know they're going to get their best shot. And then after that, LSU softball. What the heck? The Ole Miss game. Skipper, give me your breakdown. Sherry Berry, if you're watching, give me your breakdown. What's going on here? LSU softball undefeated. They dropped two to a middle-of-the-road Ole Miss team. Very interesting. We say hi to Elijah. What's up, man? Good to see you. Tyler and the whole crew. Noah, what's up? Brandon, good to see you as well. I'm kind of in the middle on this LSU baseball team. Obviously, the Mississippi State series was not what you wanted to see happen. And yeah, Florida. And Florida is going to be the most motivated opponent you'll play all year because, well, you took a national championship away from them last year. And rightfully so, you had the better team. So it should be a fun weekend. And if I might have actually an event I'm booked for this weekend, it's kind of hard for me during the off season because I do, you know, a lot of these side hustle kind of things. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch, but I hope I am, because LSU-Florida is just a legendary rivalry in all sports. It might not be legendary in the minds of, you know, the national folks. We're never going to be Florida's biggest rival and vice versa. But there is a natural, visceral disdain for both of these programs, and I think it's great. I really, really, really do. So, yeah, not too worried about baseball and all, not too worried about softball either. The main focus I have for right now.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Is, well, what about football? What about spring? What are we going to take away from spring? Of course, the guys are back from spring break, and we'll see some more practice footage being released more than likely throughout this week. So I'm pumped up to see that. I was also excited to see that there were a lot of football players who took the spring break period to go train with trainers. I thought that was really freaking interesting that we have some guys that are really locked in, don't want time off. They're like, I'm about that freaking life. So I like to see that. In particular, Colin Hurley. What's up, Pick Six? Good to see you. Let's go to Skipper, our proud patron. I don't think, this is what he had to say about softball. I don't think LSU softball made any adjustments during the game. Seems like LSU softball has become too predictable. Yeah, so when you mean predictable, I get predictable play calling in football and basketball, but when it comes to like baseball or softball, are you saying in terms of batting orders, pitching alignments, pitch location? What do you mean by predictable? I'm genuinely curious. There is so much pressure on Beth Tarina, though, to actually take this team back to the College World Series at the very least, and potentially actually win the national championship. Obviously, LSU Athletics has been on just an amazing tear under Scott Woodward regime. Hopefully that continues with Beth Tarina, who actually predates Scott Woodward at LSU. You know, the next thing I want to discuss, and this is more of a national thing. Obviously, get your questions in. You could pick any topic you want to. I always have quite a few things written down over here. So I want to get into what's happening in the national realm of college football. The Florida State Seminoles were joined today by Clemson, the Tigers, to sue. I'm trying to best understand the story. To sue the ACC for them to potentially leave the ACC. There are way smarter people that actually cover the ACC who know way more about this. I am going to miss the old iteration of college football. I really am. It is ugly that this stuff is happening and everything is just consolidating into two conferences. And I say all of this because I do a March Madness challenge every year in Power Hour LSU for our patrons. And we are doing a huge giveaway. We're giving away, I think it's a 15 by 10 Will Campbell autographed photo of Tiger Stadium. It's a beautiful photo. If you are a patron, you are able to sign up. The link is in the Discord, and your bracket could win this autographed Will Campbell photo. And you should join the Patreon. You get all the our extra film studies. I dropped my Tyler Miller film study in the Patreon over the weekend. So really pumped up about T-Mill joining the Tigers. So, you know, I was reading some stuff from Greg Sankey talking about Cinderellas and stuff like that, and then potentially changing March Madness and so on and so on. And what I see is a lot of people get mad at the athletes. It's the reason why college sports has changed and whatnot, when the exact opposite is probably true. I think we would have been heading in this direction regardless if athletes were making more money. So, you know, for me, I just think it's very sad. It's very, very, very sad that that this is happening. And I hate it. I really, really, really do. I would prefer Florida State and Clemson to stay in the ACC. I like ACC sports. Hell, I like the Big Ten. I like the Big 12. What I don't like is USC and UCLA in the Big 12. I don't want Florida State in the SEC. I don't. We already have a Florida school with the Florida Gators. Okay, and if Florida State joins the ACC, well, guess, or the SEC, Miami's going to want in the SEC. Or is Florida State going to join the Big Ten? Or are they going to join the Big 12? Now, does that make a lot of sense? That makes no sense. They're more Southeast than they are Big 12. but we don't want them in the SEC either. I don't want Clemson in the SEC. We already got South Carolina. Well, Carter, what about Alabama and Auburn? Texas A&M and Texas. Exactly. There's too many. 16 is too many. It is. You can't play a reasonable football schedule with 16 teams. So it pisses me off. It really, really does. It pisses me off. That we in America can't figure out rational sports leagues. And it's harder in football to have that. But, you know, I know a lot of you watch Josh Pate. I don't agree with everything he says, but he and I are in dead agreement about playoff expansion and conference expansion. It stinks. It stinks that this is happening. And it makes you wonder, are we going to see people fall out with college football? I don't think you'll see people that watch my channel fall out with college football, because you're still going to be fans of LSU and you're still going to support LSU. But sometimes I wonder. I really, really, really do. It's like, and sometimes I wonder, maybe these changes are actually a good thing. We'll see. Let's go to Skipper. He follows up here with the softball. And you're in Skipper's not the only one. We have a few other people in our Patreon that feel Beth can get a little stale. Seems like defensive alignment very seldom make any changes, and like the pitch calling appears to be the same sequence most of the time. Yeah, I can't speak to that. I have not watched enough, so maybe I should watch more. I just know there's a lot of pressure on Beth. And the fact that we're, 24-2 or something like that, it's still incredible. And I know you feel the same way. It's just when you get to the playoffs or the tournament, you got to be willing to make some quick changes. And there's so much film and data on you. Got to be able to mix things up. So there you go. Yes, once again, we are starting earlier to avoid basketball and baseball conflict. It is hard to do a show when people are just giving like score updates on whatever sport is happening in the background. So there you go. Next thing, as far as the realm of college football that has just been rattling in my brain here, is maybe the changes that are coming are actually good for LSU. The strengths of being LSU actually become stronger. We've already seen players literally take hometown discounts, if you will, to come back to LSU. Now, that may not mean discounts in terms of playing at LSU. A lot of these kids are still getting NIL from LSU. My point is there are a lot of really good contributing football players that have come home to Louisiana to play for the home state school. I think next year, Jordan Gilbert is going to be a really solid player for us. He wears Andre Sam's number from last year, number 14. I feel like that is a pretty fair comp. I think they're obviously different players, but I'm more so saying I think Andre Sam is going to be, or I say Andre Sam, I think Jordan Gilbert is going to be really solid, and you're not going to mistake him for the next Chad Jones or anything like that. But at this point, we just need solid. I will also share this, and I want more practice footage to be released before I go any deeper on this. And I think a lot of you would probably feel this way, even if you've not watched a single spring highlight or talked to a single person at LSU. I am quite literally worried about the secondary again. It is still to me the thing that concerns me the most. Obviously, LSU's lack of defensive line depth concerns all of us. LSU very well could have three defensive tackles drafted. I have read multiple draft analyst reports on Mason Smith, Mekhi Wingo, and Jordan Jefferson. Most of them are actually good. I'm serious. Most of them think that these guys can legitimately play in the NFL. And I've read quite a few people who feel all three of them is the biggest concern, right? Or I'd say all three of them, excuse me, are underrated. And I say this because I saw Mick's comment flash in. He says DT is his biggest fear. Well, last year we weren't a good defense with three starting potential NFL caliber defensive linemen. Now, of course, Wingo was hurt for a good portion of the season. But, you know, Georgia State ran the football and had big plays on us offensively with two of those DTs healthy and playing on the field at the same time. So I'm not too worried that our defensive line play, I'm not as worried about the defensive line as I am the secondary. I'll say that. As crazy as that sounds, Bo Davis is a master coacher. He's a master motivator. He's a master teacher. He also has two defensive tackles that'll get drafted more than likely higher than any of our guys. And those guys were three stars. Now, of course, Wingo was a three star and Jefferson wasn't that highly rated either. But Bo Davis is going to find someone on our defensive line to step up, you know, whether it's in the portal or hopefully someone in the building. But at this point, I am still very worried about this LSU defense. I'm worried about certain fits in certain places. There's obviously a nervous feeling for all of us with Harold Perkins moving back to the inside linebacker position. It's not so much for me that Perkins going back to inside linebacker. It's also for me that this position group is going to be shuffled around again. And I just want guys to have defined roles. So I do think Blake Baker will get this defense better. We have devoted a lot of resources in terms of roster spots on the defensive side of the football, not only with guys coming back, but guys coming in from the transfer portal. Hopefully we can find some guys that can play. Hopefully some of these incoming freshmen will step up and play and be really freaking good right out of the gate. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Okay. All right. Showed you the visitor list a little bit earlier. Let's go to Akeem Batiste. D-line is our biggest weakness because it's simply a depth issue. Secondary has 8 to 10 safeties and about 8 corners. They just have to get coached up and experience in reps and games. True. And I agree with you. We've got a lot of players in terms of volume, Akeem. But how many of them are good? I mean, obviously, we won't know until games are actually played. But how many of them are good? I don't know. We'll see with more spring practice footage, hopefully, throughout the rest of this week. And we should have some pretty soon. But it's tough. It's tough for me to have a gazillion percent faith in our secondary. I feel most comfortable about our linebackers right now. I do. But then again, that's also a volume thing. We only need two of them, and we've got some studs there. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting defense, and hopefully some guys step up. But to Akeem's point, a lot of these DBs that are in there are 4 stars or better, some 5 stars. So hopefully they play at that caliber. Now, yes, that's why. That's why I mentioned it on Sunday briefly. That we're going to go on a little bit earlier. Let's see. Let's go to this. Put that up for you. There we go. Now, let's see. I wanted to put this up here as well. I have a feeling Garrett Nussmeier is going to jump a few of these guys this year. At the end of the season, where will Garrett Nussmeier be on this list? You tell me right now in the chat. Is it number one? Is it number two? Is it more than that? Is it number 10? Number two behind Dart. Number three. Todd says higher than seven. Higher than seven. Higher than seven. Big Al says three. I'll take three. Right now, I would have him. I would put Beck, then Dart, then Garrett Nussmeier, then Ewers. I'm just not a Quinn Ewers guy. I could see Nico be number one at the end of the year, though. I am also a fan of Connor Wigman and Jackson Arnold. I actually do think both of them are pretty solid players. I think Wigman will be one of the more underrated quarterbacks next year. I like the OC hire that they made. And Wigman, albeit small sample, albeit early season soft schedule that he played, I honestly think he's good. I really do think so. I think he's the best Texas A&M quarterback they've had since Manziel. I think he's better than Kellen Mond. He's got some dual threat ability. He's got some toughness. I watched some of his high school games. I remember him getting knocked out of a high school game. And that's been his biggest thing. It's just been his health. So I do like Connor Wigman. And you get Evan Stewart back. You obviously bring in a new regime. I'm very curious to see what he does. I really am. Now, let me see. I do need to finish. Actually, I'll put it till later because I want to get this done before the start of the basketball game. Life pretty busy for your boy. Now, I do want to show you this really quickly. Once again, join our PHL Patreon. You could be in a chat room with me, Skipper, many others. We do have this 7-minute long film study on Tyler Miller for our patrons. Okay, and you see Skipper right here. Thanks for another great breakdown. So, There you go. You should join. Oh, yeah, Evan Stewart did transfer to Oregon. I think you would sell the hell out of etched glass cocktail margarita highball shot glasses. Oh, martini glasses. PHO martini glasses. Might look into it. So who would Texas A&M's big targets be now? Donovan Green coming off of injury. I like it, Mantinean. Number nine, he had some drop issues. His name slips my mind. They do lose Anaya Smith, though. Pretty good player. But I still like Wigman going into next year. And maybe losing Evan Stewart is probably a good thing, with Evan Stewart just quitting on the team last year. Didn't even show up for the LSU game. He said, nope, sayonara, I'm leaving. And now that drives me crazy. If you signed up and you're not opting out for the draft, play. Don't give me this me first attitude. Play. Not hard. Play the game that you're supposedly supposed to love. Mick says, at least we have new bodies in the secondary. True. Always good to have new bodies in the secondary. Well, when you have a fired coach and a bunch of me first guys, guess it's not really that shocking in the grand scheme of things. And a third string quarterback as well. Would he have changed the outcome of that game? Probably not, though. Because they just could not stop Jaden mother freaking Daniels. Let's see. Now, I do want to give you some tips on your March Madness bracket. Okay? Let me pull one up real quick before we skedaddle here. Okay? That is my favorite word of all time. Skedaddle. There's just not many better words than skedaddle. Okay. Let's see here. It's a little blurry. We'll take it. Don't forget, sign up for our PHO. March Madness bracket. It's for all our patrons. It's your chance to win a Will Campbell autograph photo. So we get to the top left of this bracket. I love UConn here. I know it's not really a shocker. They are the best team in the tournament. I'll probably pick them to win the tournament. But if you're in a bigger bracket pool, I could see a world where you can see Auburn actually beating them. There hadn't been a repeat champion since the Florida Gators. So there you go. Next bracket here is the West. You got North Carolina, Mississippi State, Michigan State, St. Mary's, Grand Canyon, Alabama, Charleston. I like New Mexico going on a little run here. I could see New Mexico in a Sweet 16. Arizona with Caleb Love, I like them as well. So give me Arizona out of this bracket pool in the West. We go to the Midwest. Purdue perennial chokers. For some reason, I'm thinking Rick Barnes is actually going to pull it off, and I'm going to pick Tennessee to go to the Final Four here. You have a lot of chokers in this bracket, though. Matt Painter and Purdue. Matt Painter has the March Madness choker label along with Rick Barnes. Kansas is going to be a sexy pick, obviously, with Bill Self being the coach. And then in this bracket, you really don't know which way this one's going to go. Houston, I know one of their guards is injured, but they still have Shed, probably the best point guard in this tournament. Marquette's hurt. Tyler Kolek, their best player, also a really good guard. They think he will be back. A sexy pick will be Kentucky. I would fade Kentucky. Duke will also be a sexy pick. I would fade Duke as well. I don't think either one of those teams are really all that great. So I am actually going to go Houston in this bracket. So I have Houston, UConn, Tennessee, and Arizona. Two ones, two twos. Let's go Lobos. Watch out for Houston. Yeah, well, Houston isn't really a like sleeper kind of pick. I mean, they're the second, they have the second best odds of winning the tournament behind UConn. I mean, UConn is just on a different level with their coaching, their execution. I think Houston's one of the few teams that actually can beat them. But I do think, you know, Kelvin Sampson's probably the best defensive coach in the country. I do think Auburn can beat UConn. I really do think so. Everything would need to go according to plan for that, though. They really, 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 really would. What's his name? Broome, B-R-O-O-M-E. Really solid player for them. But once again, I'm not the major college basketball expert. I am more in tune with the women this year. It could just be that LSU's in it. But I really do believe the men's tournament has taken a little bit of a tumble for me. I am oftentimes in 5 or 10 bracket pools. This year, I think I've had one person reach out if I want to be in their bracket pool. It just seems a little hollow. And one thing I would say, you know, that there's a ton of the tinfoil conspiracists out there who believe the NFL is just conspiracy, fake. And I get it. You know, Travis Kelce and Mahomes and Taylor Swift drove a lot of ratings and eyeballs and all of that. I would be on the lookout for some weird, nefarious officiating in this NCAA tournament. I'm just pointing this out, okay? I don't believe this will happen, but it won't shock me. Last year in the NCAA tournament really sucked, right? There were a lot of early upsets, and it was really exciting. With the transfer portal, everything is a lot evened out, but it was a dull finish. You know, San Diego State was in the final versus UConn, and they got destroyed. UConn destroyed everyone. There wasn't really a whole lot of big brands in that Final Four. And you got to remember, Coach K, out the door. Syracuse, Jim Boeheim, out the door. There's a lot of these big-name coaches and programs that aren't in it. There's so many, like, legendary basketball institutions that are just not relevant anymore. Like when Georgetown was great, yeah, they Georgetown's in D.C. You know, they drew a huge, huge number. Michigan has a huge fan base. Not in it. Ohio State, huge fan base. Not in it. Obviously, we're not in it, but, you know, we're not a needle-moving basketball brand in terms of eyeballs. It's a strange, strange, strange time, right? It's a very strange time. Let me see. Is UCLA in this field? I don't think UCLA is in the field. That's wild. They got to be in here, right? I don't think so. Women's team is really good. We might have to play them. I mean, they've got to be in the field, right? I guess I just don't see them. I know I have the right bracket. No, they're not in it. They're 16 and 17 this year. I mean, they lost Jaime Jaquez and some good players. So, I could see some weird things happening to get a Duke or a North Carolina to at least have some national brand in there. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's wild when you think about it. Like, growing up, I just knew Georgetown was good. They've been terrible. A lot of these Providence. Okay. Now Providence isn't a needle mover per se, but still. Jordan says we're favored versus Bama. We are at home next year. Jim Nance? I like old Nance. I'm not a huge Nance guy, but still. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. But if you super chat, we'll keep it going. Okay? Don't forget, we even go down here. First $10 super chat, we'll get this Christian Fulton card in the mail from yours truly. Or go get you a piece of PHO merch. Summer's around the corner. You know you need a fresh t-shirt to go on the beach. Go to powerhourlsu.com. Let's see. We do have a pretty big story here. College football story. All right. This actually just broke. So I'll put this up. And this is what I would say. Okay. Do not be shocked. If Caden Proctor goes back to Alabama. Okay, this is per Scott Docterman or Docterman. He's an Iowa reporter. All right. Caden Proctor. All right, so for those that don't know, he was a 5-star offensive lineman in his final two choices. Iowa and Alabama. He picked Alabama. He started as a true freshman, struggled quite a bit. Obviously, Nick Saban left, got fired, and he went into the portal and went back home to Iowa. That's where he's from. Now he is contemplating re-entering the portal. And Scott reports here that it is expected that Kaden Proctor is re-entering the transfer portal. Right back into the portal. What does commitment mean nowadays? And that applies to coaches and players. Here's the thing about it. It would be different if Iowa had like a new coaching staff. Maybe the offensive line coach changed, or because I'm not up to date with Blaze and Iowa sports. But what do you want? What is Alabama offering you more money to come back? Are you not seeing eye to eye with Iowa? What is the deal, Kaden? What can I do to help you? Help me help you, Kaden. This is my theory. Okay. Iowa said, hey, Kaden, come back. Give us a hometown discount. And he got back up to Iowa and saw that it's cold and it's miserable and you're playing in a bad offense. And he said, okay, I want to go back to warm weather, winning program. And Iowa's a winning program as well. Better offense, good offensive coaches. And more money, potentially. But doesn't mean anything. That's not a here nor there. So, I appreciate everyone tuning in. Obviously, at a slightly different time. This is spring. This is typical spring sports. But good luck to LSU baseball tonight. Good luck to LSU basketball. If you're watching or listening to this via podcast down the road, you are hearing me predict a sweep tonight for LSU sports. Okay. Let's see. We didn't have any super chatters tonight. I still want to give this out. We'll give it out next live stream. Apparently, a lot of you hate Christian Fulton. I'll tell Christian Fulton about that. It is Power Hour LSU Bell. And tonight, we are doing, burgers. Let's go. What's up, Chance? Let's go.